Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, midweek destinations and diversions show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort, and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals. And a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're going to head back to Walt Disney World, welcoming back to the show, Todd Brough. Welcome back, Todd.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, everybody.
So, way back when, I seem to recall this was going to be a trip report talking about a Disney cruise, but I guess the gear shifted. So talk to us a little bit about the genesis of this particular Walt Disney World trip.
Yeah, what happened about a year ago, we've never been on a Disney cruise, and finally pulling the trigger to do it, been wanting to do it. My wife's kind of been hesitant about doing it. She didn't have a good experience with another cruise company before we got together. So just to get her to agree to the cruise was a feat.
Oh, yeah.
So we're getting down to the wire, but the trip was going to be for Mardi Gras week. It was going to be February 10th to the 16th was going to be our travel days. So
okay,
we were going to fly in actually on the Saturday, and the cruise was leaving on the Monday. So we were going to have a day just to relax, maybe go to Disney Springs and do that sort of thing and kind of relax at Disney, because, you know, it's always recommended to get to Orlando or that area, you know, before
sure.
the cruise leaves.
Right.
Well, the cruise was supposed to be paid off in November, and my truck all of a sudden was not working the way it really should. I mean, it wasn't giving us too bad of a problem, but enough to where we needed to start looking for a new vehicle. And within 2 days, we got a new vehicle and a new note.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, you know, I've been there, and I mean, obviously it's better to be in that position when you get to make some choices, right? Rather than when you absolutely have to. But that doesn't mean that the timing was the best when you had the final payment on a Disney cruise right around the corner. And for those who haven't been through this process before, the Disney cruise payment deadline is going to, you know, kind of creep up on you a lot faster than the Walt Disney World payment deadline.
Yeah, it's a little further out. And so, like I said, I think November was our final payment date. And so with the new bill and the new note each month, we were like, you know, my wife was like, well, we can't even afford the cruise, much less, you know, the trip at all. And we had already booked flights, which are non-refundable, and just to change them to other dates was like $200 a person, and we have four people in our family, so to change was going to be a lot of money.
Right. So it's going to cost you as much to change them as it cost you to make them in the first place.
Exactly. So we were going to say, well, let's see what we can find. You know, this is like November or so. So let's see what we can find about three or four months out. What's at Disney World that we can find for cheap? And so, and I do have to say that my mother and father also come with us on our trip. So they were also on the cruise, and they were also traveling with us to Walt Disney World. So we usually have another set of hands to help with the kids. You know, we have a 3-year-old
sure, that's
and a 7-year-old. So, we found a 2-bedroom villa at Saratoga Springs with the stay, play, and dine offer. So that was our cheapest option as far as that goes for Disney at the time. So,
okay.
And it was a great deal, you know, and it was really a great deal. And we were looking forward to staying at Saratoga Springs and that sort of thing. And, then we had another little snag about 2 weeks out. We had paid in full for the villa and everything. My mom says, Todd, I don't know if I really want, you know, the 2-bedroom villa. She's used to, you know, we normally go in 2 rooms and, you know, they have their own room and we have our own room.
Oh, okay. And so she wasn't sure about the just being a parlor apart, so to speak.
Correct. Because they normally, my mom and dad, they're, my dad is 70. My mom is, you know, mid 60s. And so they like to stay in late, or at least my mom does. So they'll stay in and they don't hit the parks till almost noon. So just with us being in the same place and, you know, with the kids kind of being a little rowdy and getting up early and that sort of thing, she's like, see what you can find for 2 rooms. And so this is 2 weeks out. I'm trying to find.
Oh, man. Trying to juggle.
Yeah. So every day, multiple times a day, I'm checking on the travel agent's website to try to see if I can find 2.
And right, like, right. And we need to be clear to people here because, you know, we started talking about this with the cruise. We shifted gears on them. You're trying to get to Walt Disney World over Mardi Gras weekend, which over the last couple of years has become, it almost rivals Christmas week in a lot of ways with how busy it gets at Walt Disney World these days.
It can be. It can be. It was like this year's a perfect storm. It was Valentine's, Mardi Gras, and at the end, President's Day weekend.
Right,
so
right.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah, and we've had that like twice in the last 4 years or something.
Yeah, next year it'll be early March, I think. So it might not be as bad next year. So.
Right.
So for our trip, you know, so I'm checking every day to find something. And, you know, the way it works online when you're looking for places, it only shows you 1 room at a time. It never shows you 2 rooms. So right. When I would find an option, I mean, like Yacht Club came up. So I was like, let me see. I'd call and see if there was 2 rooms. No, there's only 1 room, you know, and on and on and on. And, you know, and my mom at the point, you know, she was like, well, not whatever it costs, but for an extent, if we have to pay extra, we'll pay extra, you know.
Okay.
So they were going to cover, you know, for her convenience, she was going to pay the difference.
Right.
And so 2 days before we left, we found 2 rooms at Boardwalk with annual pass discounts.
You actually didn't break the bank because you had the discount that would apply. But that's, you know, that's taking it down to the wire for a busy travel weekend.
Yeah, it was really crazy. You know, we've never switched like that ever, you know, in our history of going to Disney within the last, you know, ever switching that late in the game, you know. And originally we had all had 5-day base tickets. So I ended up getting an annual pass for myself so we could get the discount. And it actually really benefited us because we normally do have annual passes, or at least one of us have annual passes for the discounts and
right.
The tables in Wonderland card and all those sort of things. We normally always usually do have it. This was the first time we weren't planning on having an annual
right,
pass.
Right. So,
and so it worked out and we made it.
So that's one piece of the background, right? Because you're shuffling resorts and all that. I'm a little intrigued because you also, because you're planning that close, you know, you switched from the cruise to the resort really only about, 90 days out?
Yeah, it wasn't very long. Like I said, I think we canceled in November.
Yeah.
And we were going in February. So yeah.
So probably about 90 days out. And for a busy travel time. So talk about what you needed to do to adapt your usual planning. Because things like, you know, making the tough to get dining reservations right at 120 days or 180 days, you know, that was gone. That wasn't an option. So how did you handle the shorter notice really than you're used to when setting up the elements of your trip?
It was a concern. And, the main thing, of course, like you said, is the dining. Of course we weren't be able to get our Ohana and things like that. It was completely booked up for the entire week, but we still were able to get a lot of good places that we normally like to eat. I mean, we ate at Trails Inn one evening. We always loved that, you know, that buffet. And I do have to say we were on the dining plan this time. We normally don't do the dining plan, and I'll kind of give you my pros and cons of the dining plan
sure.
for us later on, you know, and during the wrap up, I'll let you know how that kind of went for us.
Okay.
But we did Trails Inn. We did Mama Melrose, which is a favorite of ours. We did Tusker House for dinner, which we've done before. And, Trying to think, what else did we do?
So were there any restaurants that you ended up trying for the first time just because you couldn't get into the places that, that you usually use?
No, actually we didn't. Just because of where we moved to and where we, you know, the changes, we actually had the opportunity to maybe eat at some places we hadn't eaten in a long time, but again, they weren't available. Like we wanted to try Cape May for breakfast again, which we had done in like 2014, but it was completely booked up. Now Trattoria Al Forno was available with the new,
the new character breakfast.
The new character breakfast, but it just didn't work the entire schedule. We had fast passes most of the mornings, and so we didn't want to forego our fast passes to, you know, to have a character breakfast.
Sure, that's a tough trade.
But now one thing we did pick up last minute, like during the week, we did on our final day, the day we departed, our flights weren't until later in the afternoon. We actually went and ate breakfast at the Ale and Compass. And that was actually really nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's the sort of newly upgraded spot there at the yacht club.
Yeah, it used to be the Captain's Grill. And actually, my dad and I think back in 2014 when we had stayed at the beach club, my dad and I, for some reason, I don't even remember why, but him and I had went and dined there at the Captain's Grill for breakfast one morning. And, you know, it was perfectly fine back then. And this was actually really nice, you know. So we enjoyed it.
Good.
That was something new we had never tried. So.
All right. Well, so let's start getting into the trip itself. You know, you pulled things together and at least you still had your full FastPass Plus windows after you made the trip. And luckily, those things are, I will give Disney credit. You know, we complain about Disney IT all the time and the My Disney Experience and all of that, but it's frankly pretty impressive that you can, you know, juggle around plans and change resorts and all of that. And for the most part, My Disney Experience stuff follows you, right? I mean, as long as you've got an active hotel reservation, your fast passes you'd already made, they're still there. So did you get any unhappy surprises from your changes in My Disney Experience, or did it work like it's supposed to?
Oh, it worked perfectly. Like you said, it didn't. We'd had no hiccups. Of course, we had a couple of attractions that we had that went down at times, and then you know, they give you that universal
that
fast pass, you come back any time for this ride when it opens, or you can select something else. But I mean, all of our coveted, you know, fast passes, even, you know, I mean, we were able to get Flight of Passage, and we purposely booked, and you know, this is a tip for everybody, is we booked Animal Kingdom towards our last day in the parks, you know, for our last day. That way it gave us a better opportunity to get fast passes for it, you know.
Right. It's the same game we all used to use with Cinderella's Royal Table.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we used to be those people where Animal Kingdom usually is our first park, and then, you know, for the, you know, the other parks follow. But we, for this, for the first time, we had it as our last day, and, you know, we really were able to get pretty much everything we wanted, you know, so.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start working our way through the parks and talk a little bit more then about park experiences. You know, you said you traditionally started Animal Kingdom, but that you moved that back to give yourself a little more cushion trying to get those hard to get fast passes. So where did you start the trip this time?
This time we actually started, first of all, with Magic Kingdom for the first day.
Okay.
And we actually had 2 days since we had, you know, our trip was 7 days, 6 nights, and we had 5 days for the parks. So 2 days were allocated to Magic Kingdom. 1 day in the beginning was the first day, and that started off the trip.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and consider sort of all of the experiences at Magic Kingdom together and talk about the things really that stood out while you were there. Good, bad, or unusual, I guess, is what I would say. The things that, you know, because we've talked about Magic Kingdom before, but what we really like to focus on is those things that even in a place that we've all been before, you know, this is the thing that jumped out at you. So what were the things that stood out about Magic Kingdom on this particular trip?
Well, first of all, since I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, my son is 3, Luke, and my daughter Marie is 7. And so it was a lot of firsts for both of them.
Sure.
My son, you know, now that he's 3, we actually have to pay for tickets. but he's a right at that height. He wasn't quite high tall enough for Seven Dwarves, but he was tall enough for Barnstormer, so he rode Barnstormer for the first
really
time.
Really on the edge. That's what, because Barnstormer is like 32 inches and or 33 inches, and Seven Dwarves is 36 or something like that.
I think Barnstormer 34 and 36 is 38. Even? Yeah, Barnstormer is 38. I mean, I'm sorry. Mine train is 38.
Oh, is it 38? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
So 36 and 38, and he came in right in between.
He was right in between. So yeah. but my daughter, she grew a little bit. She's actually still short for her, you know, even seven. She's still not 40. She's 40. God, man, it's been only a week and I remember all these numbers, but she's still not tall enough to ride, Rock and Roller Coaster and Primeval World and those things, but everything else she can ride. So,
okay. She's over 44 inches, so she can do Space and she can do Everest, but she's not, I think it's 48 for Rock and Roller Coaster and Primeval World.
Yeah, yeah. So she's not quite there, but she pretty much rode everything, you know. She rode Everest for the first time, you know, getting to, you know, Animal Kingdom. She rode Everest for the first time and loved it. She rode Flight of Passage with me and loved it, you know. So a lot of firsts for her, you know, and it was great to see them being able to do these, you know, do these things now, finally, you know,
right, sure. 'Cause
I'm usually the only one. My wife doesn't ride a lot of the thrill rides. I mean, she'll ride Big Thunder and things like that, Splash Mountain, but Everest, I'm usually riding by myself. So now at least I have a co-pilot. So,
right. Nice.
Magic Kingdom though, back to that. I got to actually try at Friar's Nook the loaded tots.
Oh yeah, yeah. And what did Twinkie. You think of them?
I liked both. They were great. I had gotten the Fiesta one, the Mexican flavored tater tots, and they were really good.
Good.
Other than that, we actually got to see Happily Ever After fireworks for the first time. We had never seen. And I actually like them better than Wishes. I really do.
See, I think I'm with you there. I always, you know, here's my problem. During the show, I agree with you 100%. And then I walk away and I think about it. And I think nostalgia, like, gives Wishes some extra credit or something. And I have a hard time then deciding which one I like better. But in the moment, I think I agree. I think I like Happily Ever After better in the moment.
It's more of a spectacle, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm trying to see what else. I got notes from my days. We ate at Diamond Horseshoe one of the evenings. The second day we were there for Valentine's Day, we ate at Diamond Horseshoe.
Okay.
And that was actually the second time we had eaten there. And so we really like it. It's pretty good. When it's open for the busier times, it's something to check out, you know?
All right. Well, no, wait. So talk about Diamond Horseshoe a little bit, because it's one of those restaurants that was, it seemed never open for years and years. And finally, over the last year or so, they've started at least opening it during the busier times in Magic Kingdom. And it does have a little bit different menu than you find other places in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's kind of similar to Liberty Tree, but it's just it's served family style. But the menu is different. There's a salad with a chipotle ranch with some cornbread croutons, and they give you cornbread and butter, kind of like you do at Trails End and Hoopty Doo. And then the platter itself is like a pot roast. It was carved turkey. There was smoked sausage, and there was pulled pork. And then they also had side of macaroni, side of corn. And I think that was it. Yeah, that was it. And then, like, for my kids, we asked, you know, can you bring us out an order of chicken nuggets? And they were more than happy to oblige. I think they share a kitchen with Liberty Tree. And I know at Liberty Tree, if you ask for chicken nuggets and fries, they'll bring it to you. So I guess it's kind of like the same thing, you know.
Makes sense.
And it was no extra charge for it, too. So
good, good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I've heard some mixed reviews, so it's good to hear a positive review of Diamond Horseshoe and that it worked well for you.
Yeah, my mom doesn't quite like Liberty Tree as much, you know, but she actually prefers the Diamond Horseshoe over Liberty Tree, you know. So
nice. All right. So new experiences at Magic Kingdom, and it is a different experience when you can get on those thrill rides for the first time with the kids. So let's go back out towards the front of the park, hop on the monorail, and talk a little bit about Epcot. Epcot, you were there as, let's see. Well, now you were there in February, so you were sort of in between festivals, like one of the, 3 months of the year?
Well, actually, it was still, they had a week left of the Festival of the Arts.
Oh, you did. So you caught the end of Festival of the Arts. Excellent.
Yeah, we had another, it was the week we were there and then another week and then it ended, you know?
Right.
So,
okay.
So it was actually pretty neat. The food, we're real big. We've been to Food and Wine. We've been to Flower and Garden, and we love the food offerings there. The food offerings for this one wasn't quite up to our palates. We just, you know, it was a little more fancier than we would like. I mean, we're not that sort of people. That sort of people kind of thing. But you know what I mean? Like, we're more meat and potatoes type of people and
right. Well,
my
and it
family.
Was- It, the point of the it's a little different focus. I mean, the food for the arts festival is sort of designed to be artsy. You know, it's designed to be a little over the top in that way. So that I don't think you're alone in thinking it was a little overly fussy.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really didn't get anything from the food kiosk, which was fine.
Right.
So, I mean, we did... you know, we did our normal things. We had fast passes for Test Track. It actually didn't shut down while we were there. And, you know, like I said, my daughter loves that one. We actually had breakfast that morning at the Garden Grill, which we've been to before, and we really love that breakfast. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, with the dining plan, this is something, you know, to comment on, is the alcohol now included with, you know,
that's right. I was going to ask if you were taking advantage.
I did. I'm typically the only one that did, but like with breakfast, they had a Bloody Mary on the menu, so I had a Bloody Mary for breakfast that morning.
Very nice.
And also had a coffee, and that was one of the points of contention I had or questions I had going into this. How would they work that if you say wanted, you know, the Bloody Mary in the morning and you still wanted the coffee, would they charge you for the coffee or would they charge you for the Bloody Mary? Would it matter how they put it in the system? You know, that sort of thing. So Garden Grill was a little bit different than other places since your beverages are all included with this meal.
Right. Right. Cause it's a buffet. Well, it's not a buffet, but it's served family style. So it's buffet pricing basically.
Correct. So in this case, I got the Bloody Mary and the coffee, no extra charge for the coffee because it was included.
Okay.
Later on that evening, we had ate at La Hacienda, and I asked the same thing about, I want a margarita, you know, will you charge me for a Coke? And our server was just real nice and said, you know, don't worry about it. I'm not going to charge you for the Coke.
Okay.
You know, but typically it does depend on how you order it. So
right, right.
You want to order the alcohol with the meal in the beginning, and then later on,
that makes
request
sense.
Request a Coke or
right, because they're gonna include with your meal whichever one you order first with the meal. That makes perfect sense. Because that's basically that alcoholic beverage is just subbing, you know, filling the shoes, so to speak, of the soft drink you would have gotten before it was included.
Correct, and. I heard another podcast or something online the other day, and there is a limit because when I ordered, there was only certain – there was one or two, the top margaritas I couldn't order.
Right.
But, I mean, there was like about six of them to choose from, so, you know, I just chose the classic one.
Yeah, there's a dollar value apparently, but it's somewhere like $20, $25 before they'll cut it off. And you know, that's what it, when it's the top end tequilas and those margaritas, they can get pretty pricey.
Yeah, yeah. I think from what I heard is at a Disney owned property, it's 21, and then at a non Disney owned restaurant, it's 16.
Okay, but that makes sense.
Something like that, you know. Yeah. But that could be not accurate, you know.
No, but that's a good guide to use, right? Is if you're going in and the drink you want to order is more than $15, ask. And I'm sure they'll be happy to tell you. But by and large, you can even get upgraded alcoholic beverages within that, you know, $15 to $20 range.
Sure.
So, okay. So I have to ask, how does, Golden Horseshoe, are they serving beer at Magic Kingdom now? Or is that, would that be only at dinner, or how's that, how is that working?
If they did offer it, I didn't see it on the menu, or I didn't ask, you know.
So if it's available, they're not advertising that it is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe just at that meal, I wasn't paying attention or wasn't looking for alcohol at that point in time, I guess. Maybe it was just, it was quite warm that week. We were, I mean, I'm from Louisiana, and, you know, our weather is Florida weather most of the time. But when we left, it was like in the 40s here. And when we got there, it was high 85, 86. They had record highs that week, you know. So it was pretty warm for February in Florida. So.
Okay. So we talked breakfast at Garden Grill at Epcot. Good experience. Sounds like a good Bloody Mary. Compliments of the new dining plan inclusions. What other things about Epcot stood out, either dining wise or attraction wise? Any new attractions that the kids got to try for the first time?
No, nothing else. I mean, like I said, we had done Test Track. My daughter had done, was able to do that last year.
Right.
We got on some old originals. Spaceship Earth. We have to do that one. We did Grand Fiesta Tour. We did Living with the Land. We kind of took this, you know, like again with my parents showing up, you know, a little bit later in the day. We kind of took it a lot more easier this trip. We had a lot of downtime. We really didn't go into the countries all that much this time. You know, we kind of, other than Mexico, really that was the only one we went into.
Okay.
We had stopped by the American Pavilion, and the kids did a little bit of coloring at the KidCot stations there. But it was a typical day for us at Epcot. We didn't, you know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. We got to see the Jammeters, which is always a fun thing. We love seeing the Jammeters.
They are fun.
But we actually for the first, not the first time, but for a time in a while, we actually didn't stay for Illuminations. Just the kids were kind of tired, and just everybody was ready to go back. And so being right there at the boardwalk, we just walked back to the hotel. And actually, I think that evening we had stopped by Ample Hills Creamery and got to try some of the Star Wars flavored ice creams.
Uh-huh. And tell us about Star Wars flavored ice cream.
Well, at Ample Hills, on the boardwalk, they have three new flavors. I think one's like the Resistance, one's the Dark Side, and one's the Light Side, something like that.
Okay.
You have to look it up, but they're all good. And it's actually, they come in pints. You can buy them in pints, or on the dining plan as a snack credit, you can get two scoops in a cup for a snack. So that's what we did. We ended up getting I think we got the Dark Side and the Light Side, and both were great. It was really good. I had heard that they had it there at Ample Hills, but I didn't know if it was still there. And we were lucky enough to, you know, I said, if we wouldn't have stayed there, if we wouldn't have stayed at the boardwalk, I wouldn't have got to try it. Because we normally don't make a special trip out to the, you know, the boardwalk and the beach club. We don't necessarily, unless we have something to do there, like I said, a dinner or something like that. We don't walk out that way.
Now, what did you think of Ample Hills as compared to, you know, the regular hand scoop ice cream you might get in the parks or anywhere else at Walt Disney World?
I thought it was pretty good. We really enjoyed it. The kids enjoyed it. It was very creamy. I would say, you know, I mean, like I said, we were on the dining plan, so it didn't cost anything extra out of pocket that way. So to say that it was maybe well worth the money price, that sort of thing, I really probably couldn't tell you.
Sure.
Compared to the other places.
A good value on the dining plan, because it is a little pricey compared to what you would get elsewhere.
Probably so. I would imagine so. Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. We liked it. We'll go, if we're in that area, we'll go back for sure.
Yeah. So let's take a minute and just talk a little bit about the boardwalk area. Cause I don't recall, but it seems to me that you hadn't stayed in that area with the kids before.
Well, we had stayed at Beach Club in 2014, and actually the one of the kids was there and one was not. It was like right before Luke was born. Marie was with us, and we stayed there previously, but had not walked, you know, around to the boardwalk area.
Right. So this is what I'm getting at. So talk a little bit about that. Did you explore the boardwalk at all this time around, or was it just, you know, you were so busy with other stuff that it was there, but not something that was on the agenda. So, you know, you didn't spend much time on it.
We actually, you know, we did walk around quite a bit and explored a lot. I was very surprised on how busy the actual little boardwalk was, because I seem to remember, like I said, in 2014, when we were at the beach club, there really wasn't a lot of people walking around, but there was a lot of people walking around when we were here. And I mean, there's jugglers and performers every night, you know, multiple performers. They'll have like one guy here and then one guy on the opposite side. So like, I mean, it was hopping, you know, it really was. I mean, we didn't see a lot of people around Jelly Rolls. We did see a lot of people around the Atlantic Dance Hall, but maybe that kind of picks up later in the evening. And is, you know, we didn't really see that.
Well, I mean, to me, the important part, frankly, is just the kind of the kinetic energy it gives to the area there around the boardwalk. I mean, not so much the clubs, but just the fact that there are people milling around and there's stuff going on. There's entertainers, there's activity that I think it gives it a different feel.
It does. It does. And I mean, their quick service restaurant for like breakfast and things like that is the bakery. So, I mean, we went to the bakery every morning pretty much.
Right.
And I mean, we went to the gift shop, which has, you know, your normal things there. And we walked through there. And then on the last day before we left, you know, like we had a couple of hours to kill and not have anything to do. So the kids and I walked around. There's a playground right next to the scary clown pool. So I let the kids, you know, play on the playground there, and they had fun. And so there's lots to do, and it really is. And I think the convenience of being that close to both of the, you know, Epcot and to Hollywood Studios was something, especially for my mom, you know, that's what she was looking for, something really easy.
Sure.
Kind of getting back to that thing with, you know, with Saratoga, she was just worried if we were going to get a two-bedroom villa far away from the main pool area.
Sure, it can be quite a bit of walking there.
Yeah, and like I said, she's usually the one, or my mom, or both of them, they'll come later. So if she was to be coming to the parks later to meet us by herself, she was just trepidatious. So this place worked out perfectly for her. So.
Right. So I guess any other things you might want to add about Boardwalk itself as the resort, you know, how it worked for your family. You had, you know, four people in it this time instead of three. And, you know, you've talked some about the area, but maybe a little bit about the resort itself. And, you know, the one thing I hear sometimes from people is that Boardwalk isn't necessarily the best choice for somebody with a young family because of that issue that, you know, there are no restaurants in the resort, right? You've got to go out to the boardwalk when you're looking for a restaurant. So did you find that an issue at all? Was it inconvenient in that way, or did it end up not being a big deal?
It wasn't a big deal for the convenience, because we were lucky. It didn't rain any of the days. So like you said, getting out of your resort, walking to the bakery, if it had been one of those days where it's pouring down raining, that sort of thing, then it might have kind of been more of an inconvenience.
Right.
But really, where our room was, it was very centrally, very close to the main lobby, close to the elevator. So really to get, it was a less than a 5-minute walk to get to the bakery. Now, the one thing we did say and comment about was, and that's just maybe us, is the breakfast offerings in the morning there, other than pastries, were very lacking.
Right.
They had a bounty platter, the typical bounty platter, but that was really all they had, that and pastries. They had no Mickey waffles. My family, we like biscuits. My mom likes biscuits, so there was no biscuits on the menu. So we're used to like Port Orleans Riverside, French Quarter, Coronado Springs, where there's a lot of options for breakfast. You know, even Wilderness Lodge, even the Contemporary Contempo Cafe has a lot more options for breakfast. So that was one of the really the biggest negativity we had about it was the lack of, you know, food options.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we would have walked across to the beach club is kind of almost the same thing. They have that beach club marketplace, and really all they have there is breakfast sandwiches.
Right. Yeah. It's all really kind of grab and go type stuff.
Yeah. There's no traditional, as we call traditional, no Mickey waffles and breakfast platters and things like
that. None of your usual quick service breakfast stuff.
Yeah. So that was really the only negative about it. But other than that, I mean, we had one evening, and this was maybe a little bit of a magical moment, you could say almost. One evening we came back, that whole system they have now where when you hang the thing, the do not disturb signs, there's not disturb things.
Yep. They still come check on you.
Yeah. Well, my mom and dad, like I said, they leave late. So they had the cast members come knock on the door, you know, when are y'all, you know, we just check in, you know, and they're like, well, we'll be leaving soon. You know, well, when we got back that evening, their room was not made. So the bed was unmade. They hadn't refreshed anything. So they never came back to service the room. So, but my mom and dad called. We got in about 9 o'clock that night. So my mom and them called the front desk, say, hey, you know, y'all didn't come change our room out. You know, and they were like, well, y'all had the thing hanging on the door, you know, that sort of thing. So it's like, who said, well, you know, that sort of thing. So So they came up and they cleaned the room. You know, my mom and them, we had connecting rooms. So they came over to our room while they cleaned the room, and it was cleaned and everything. That was fine.
Yeah.
The next day when we came back from the hotel, from the parks the next day, they had a platter of some Mickey cupcakes on their table. And they also had a note saying, look in the refrigerator. And there was a cheese plate with some strawberries inside the refrigerator for them. So,
oh, very nice.
So they tried to make up for
it. Yeah, above and beyond, really.
Yeah, make up for the mistake. You know, I mean, really all my mom and dad wanted was the room clean. And they did it. But the next day they got a nice little surprise. So,
yeah, that sounds great. So good things to say about Boardwalk. Let's kind of continue our stroll on by from Epcot past Boardwalk and go on over to Hollywood Studios. You know, you were there at a time when Hollywood Studios was kind of a mess. Lots of closures, not a lot of stuff opened back up yet. What stood out for you about the time you spent in Hollywood Studios on this trip?
Yeah, well, the main thing we had been planning for Hollywood Studios, it was Mardi Gras. We went on Mardi Gras Day that day. So we had the Mardi Gras beads, being from Louisiana. So everybody and their cousin was from Louisiana was there. Let me just say that. So, you know, kind of like Jersey Week, you know, that sort of thing. So the one thing my daughter last year when we went, she wanted to do the Jedi Trials of the Temple. At the last minute, chickened out and didn't do it. Well, this year she said, I'm doing it. So that was our mission that day. So her and I got up early to make sure we got there in time to sign her up for the trials at the temple. We actually thought we were going to actually be a little late because the park opened at 9 and we took the boat over, and it's not the fastest mode of transportation to get to. It's very nice, but it's just not very fast.
Okay.
So we ended up getting to the parks around 8:50, you know, but they had already been letting people in. So we made a beeline, you know, to the line where you need to sign up for it.
Right.
And we actually got there in plenty of time. So we were, you know,
okay.
we had pick of several different times, and looking at our fast passes and what we had, we ended up signing her up for the 2:10 in the afternoon show.
Okay.
She was happy.
good. So, you got signed up for Jedi training, even though you got there a little bit later than you expected. You have some fast passes in place. What of the touring experience stood out?
Since my daughter is a big Star Wars fan as I am, since we were the only two there early that morning, since we had to get there to sign up for her, we made a beeline to Star Tours, and the wait was like 15 minutes, and it really wasn't even that. It was pretty much just walk on that morning. And then we were actually able to see the new Jakku scene and the new Batuu scene, because I'm not sure if it's in rotation or what, but I think all of them now you end in Batuu.
My understanding is that they're I think still guaranteeing those scenes for everybody for now, and that eventually they'll go into rotation. I think they're kind of pushing them pretty hard at the moment just to get everybody familiar with them.
Yeah. So we had got to see that. And, you know, my daughter, I was actually in my family, I'm the only one that has seen The Last Jedi. So some of the scenes in there are a little bit more telling than, you know, normal. I mean, it wasn't like spoilerific or anything like that, but it was some scenes that my daughter had not seen, you know. So that was pretty, she was really excited about that. And so once we got that done, we had a fast pass, so we went right back on. So we rode it twice. We were two times in a row, so we did pretty well for Star Tours.
Yeah.
I rode Rock and Roller Coaster by myself that day. We all rode Toy Story Mania, and from what I understand, we were some of the last people to actually get to ride it with Fast Passes, because I think as of maybe this week or next week, the Fast Pass will be gone. It'll be all standby because they're converting the entrance from the front of the building to the back of the building into Toy Story Land.
Yep.
So,
I believe that's accurate. I think that the Toy Story Fast Pass is not going to be back until, you know, sometime in, end of June, beginning of July.
Yeah. So we were lucky to get that in. Other than that, it wasn't, you know, actually we all got to see Star Wars: The Galactic Spectacular, the show. The previous time we went, most of the kids and my parents and everybody was just tired and did not want to wait to see the show. And I said, well, this year y'all staying. And so I said, being big Star Wars fans like my kids are, I said, y'all need to stay and y'all need to watch. Y'all going to love it. And they did. So
good. I think that, I mean, Happily Ever After actually gives it a run for its money now, but up until then, that show had pretty much taken over, as far as I was concerned, for my favorite fireworks show in the parks.
Yeah, and now they have back that other show. It's like Disney Movie Magic or something, that it's like, it's another like projection type show with a little bit of lasers and fireworks. They play that actually right before it, and then Galactic Spectacular is right after it. So it's like back to back, you know, maybe 10 minutes in between the two, but
Sort of like the way they do the pre-show and then fireworks for Magic Kingdom.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty neat. We liked them both. We didn't get to do Tower of Terror on this trip. That's really, like I was saying, my daughter rode every thrill ride that I rode, that she could. We didn't get to do Tower of Terror. She would have been tall enough for it. We never got the chance to. Just they ran out. So really, I mean, other than that, I mean, being, you know, with a lot of stuff closed, we filled the day, you know.
I was just going to say, it sounds like even with rides closed and not even including Tower of Terror, you made a full day out of Hollywood Studios without much problem.
Yeah. And like I said, we chilled a lot. We just took it very relaxing. I mean, if we would have done a Commando back to back to back to back rides and shows and everything, we could have done everything, but we hit the main things we like to see every time. And other than that, we just relaxed. Like I said, it was a little bit warm, so we just kind of found air condition and, you know, went to Backlot Express for lunch and sat in there for a little while and rested and just took it easy this trip. There's a lot more laid back trip this time. So.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but I think that's the right way to do it. I mean, I think that there's an instinct that a lot of people have that, you know, because things are closed and because it's crowded, their, you know, traffic routes are bad and things like that at Hollywood Studios, that they want to just get there and rush through everything. And I think that in some ways it's an opportunity to slow down, because you can downshift and not feel like you missed stuff.
Yeah, we did. And we were, my dad and I were talking this weekend just passed, and we said, like, for our next trip, you know, we're going to try to do it even a little bit more differently next year. Like, maybe even, you know, cause we said, well, we didn't stay in the parks very late, you know, to experience the parks at night. Cause as you know, all the parks are different at night than they are during the day. And most of the time the kids are tired because, I mean, we get there early in the morning, not necessarily exactly at rope drop, but, you know, we'll get there at 9:10 in the morning and then stay till 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, a 12-hour day easily. And, you know, so everybody's tired by that. By the time the fireworks come, everybody's ready to go home. So I think we're going to try maybe next year is maybe don't book any fast passes in the morning and just start our day at noon, you know? Yeah.
Well, now see, that's going to be the hard part though, because, you know, we got a new land opening in June and we don't know what that's going to do to the traffic patterns. And then they're going to get, you know, rejiggered again, you know, 12 months later when Star Wars Land opens.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to take it, you know, we're going to see what happens, but we were just having some ideas about maybe, you know, touring the parks at night and that sort of thing and kind of just taking it easy and staying late, sleeping in late, you know, kind of just shifting our whole day.
Right. Sure.
So we'll try it out. We'll see what happens, you know, because, I mean, there is a difference in riding Thunder Mountain at night during the day or even Everest at night and not, you know, during the day. There's a totally different experience, you know.
So that's interesting. So, good stuff about studios. Any other studios dining things that you enjoyed or didn't enjoy? I guess we should always ask.
Like I said, we did Backlot Express for lunch, and we did Mama Melrose for dinner, which we all love. Mama Melrose. Everybody gives Mama Melrose a bad rap, and I don't say give it a bad rap, but forgets it's there because it is way in the back of the park. So. My family, we love it, you know. I mean, there was some changes to the menu. There was, you know, recently it used to be like a New York strip, and then they changed it to like a quote strip steak. You know, I got it again. I didn't see any difference in the taste. It was really good to me. And again, we were on the dining plan with the alcohol, so I got an Italian margarita, which was really good.
Okay.
You know, so I mean. And I'll tell you this one thing, you know, with the dining plan is, you know, I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, and my 7-year-old, she's very picky. She doesn't hardly eat anything. And my son, you know, being 3, I mean, he eats his hamburger and his chicken nuggets and that sort of thing. And
right.
He eats more than she does most of the time. So, you know, kind of getting to the whether or not the dining plan is worth it or not for us, it's probably not worth it for us because most of the time they would share a meal, you know, and of course for dinner, for our table service meals, they would get their own meals. Cause that's, you know, we got the credits, but right, like for right. The quick service, like for Backlot Express and things like that, they would share one order of chicken nuggets. We wouldn't need to order two separate orders of chicken nuggets for them cause they wouldn't eat it all.
Right.
So, at the end of the trip, we had like 4 quick service meals left and like 20 snack credits left at the end of the trip.
Oops.
So the last 2 days were, you know, trying to figure out how many snacks and how many Rice Krispie treats and Mickey bars that we can bring back home.
Hey, you know, stock up time, right?
We did. We'll be eating Disney snacks for another couple of weeks over here.
All right, so you'd saved Animal Kingdom for towards the end of the trip to give yourself the best opportunity at the hard to get fast passes there, and it sounds like that worked out for you well. What did you think of Animal Kingdom and, you know, not just the new Pandora area, that obviously we'll talk about some, but also sort of the impact that Pandora has had on the rest of Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. Well, we did get a fast pass to Flight of Passage, and for all the fast passes, I just booked everybody all the same. And most of them started around 10. That's kind of typically, I had hopes that my parents would maybe get there for 10, but most of the days they didn't. And for this instance, they didn't. And I'll give another caveat. My wife is very motion sick. You know, she can't ride a lot of the rides. Like she has to psych herself up for Soarin'. So she ended up not riding Flight of Passes.
Okay.
So my daughter and I rode it together actually twice.
I was going to say, you had bonus fast passes available.
Yeah, yeah. We went on with ours, and then we went on with my son's and my wife's. Right.
Some people do child swap. You got to do wife swap.
Yes, I did. Again, she was a trooper. She loved it. My mom and dad didn't get to ride it because they just didn't get there in time. There's a little bit of a bug in the system with the fast passes. We used 4 out of our 6 fast passes for Flight of Passage. But when you pull up the app, it still would show my mom and my dad still having a fast pass. But and it still has a certain time, like 11 to 12 or whatever right. It was. But it still shows up. I would think that once your time ends, it would just be removed off of your account. But I guess that's not the case. It still shows unless you go in there and cancel it.
Unless you go in and get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, well, look, just for fun, I said, look, because we went walk through Pandora once my parents got there. I said, look, Dad, just go up to the FastPass kiosk. It shows you still have one. It's just past the time. Just see if it still works. And wham, 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 it doesn't work. The guy said, you're 2 hours late, that right. sort of thing. So right. I said, hey, we tried, that sort of thing. So, but it's like you would think that it would just be removed. But like you said, you have to remove it yourself. So,
yeah. Yeah. It takes some action to make it go away, basically. And it's either, you can either delete it yourself or if you use it, right. That mm-hmm. triggers it because it gets touched, I guess is what they would call it on their end. But, and probably a good time to remember or to remind people, there is a little bit of flexibility in your FastPass Plus return times, right? And my understanding is that it still works, that the system will automatically, wave you through, like when you scan, as long as you're within 5 minutes before your time or 10 minutes past your time. Anything beyond that is when the system is going to not turn green for you when you scan your magic band. And that's when the cast member is going to intervene and take a look at it and see what it says. And then you're at the mercy of catching the right person in the right situation at the right time.
Yeah, that's a good thing to note for sure. And then again, another first, my daughter rode Expedition Everest for the first time. And again, she loved it. Like I said, she's a trooper. She's good. She's like me. She would ride anything. And she had a great time on that. The one thing that we were able to do is since the way the tiered fast pass system works, you can only pick a fast pass for either the Navi River Journey or Flights of Passage. The way we got through with that is because we didn't want to be there at, 2 hours or an hour before rope drop. There was right. no way we were getting to the parks that early. Is our thing was we had a dinner reservation at Tusker House that evening, which we had eaten there before and we enjoy and, great food. Once that was over, we were going to go back to Pandora, walk around, see it at night,
sure.
the bioluminescence and all that sort of thing. And sure enough, the park was closing that evening at 8. We got into the line for Navi River Journey 1 minute before it closed. So we did the people, it said 35 minute wait. We just walked through the queue and it might've been a 15 minute wait.
Yeah. It would only have been a 35 minute wait if you'd crawled.
Yeah. I mean, the cast members were walking behind us in the line, roping it off as we went up. I mean, we weren't the last ones, but maybe there's about a dozen people behind us and that was it. And we loved it. It was a great, great attraction, great little ride. I mean, we wouldn't have waited, 90 minutes for it.
Oh yeah. No, I think that's probably a fair take. It is what it is, right? It's the ride that everybody can do. It gets you into the story of Pandora, but it's got, some cutting edge animatronics, but ultimately it's a relatively short dark ride.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, last ride of the night, it was our last day in Disney, our last park night.
That's a nice way to wrap things up.
Yeah. It was a perfect ending to the week, having that as our last you know, our last attraction.
All right. So is that wrapped up your trip? We're getting to the wrap up questions of the show. So I always like to ask folks at this stage, it seems to me, especially for people who have visited Walt Disney World lots of times, you know, we hear people ask all the time, how can you keep going back? And I think part of the answer is every time you go, there's something else that you see, you do, you notice that you didn't notice before, you didn't do before. So you end up with a different impression. So from this particular visit, what's going to be that memory, that thing that when you talk about it, you hear it, you think about it, it's automatically going to trigger this trip?
It's going to be two things. It's going to be the last minute change of location, you know, from the cruise to the Disney World trip, you know.
Right.
And it's going to be all the firsts that my children had, you know, Marie riding all the thrill rides and Luke getting to ride his first couple of, you know, thrilling rides, the Barnstormer and that sort of thing. So,
right, sure.
I think that's going to be the two main things, you know, the change in venues and the kids.
Makes sense. And then the other question is, you know, for somebody else who is finding themselves in a similar situation where, you know, they've got to make a shift in plans the last minute, and maybe it's not completely changing from, you know, cruise to Walt Disney World, but, you know, maybe something comes up and they've got to change the timing of the trip. And so now instead of having 200 days to plan, they've got 90 days to plan. You know, what are the two or three bits of advice you might give them to make that be not such a scary thing, not such a difficult thing?
I guess it also just depends on how flexible your family is. If you're a type A type family where if our plans are changed, the trip is ruined, you know, I can understand that mentality, you know. But don't try not to be that way, you know, if you can. I mean, there's always availability somewheres at something. You can always check back. Like the cast members, every time I would call and try to see if there was two rooms, they were like, well, keep checking back. You know, there's always somebody canceling something, you know, because typically, like, for instance, for a room-only reservation, the cancellation is 5 days out. So at that five-day mark, they might be a bit more information or a bit more rooms available for, you know, for booking that weren't available 2 weeks ago. So
right.
I would say keep checking back. There's always a possibility somebody could cancel something, you know.
Right. Well, just like your plans changed, somebody else's changed, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when we left the cruise, that freed up two cabins on the cruise ship for somebody to take the cruise, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you always had to look on the brighter side and figure out, you know, what's more of an importance to you. Like, what's the priority? Is it the dining that's the priority? Is it where you're staying is the priority? Is it the fast passes that's the priority? You know, if you're flexible with one of those or a couple of those things, then you can manage to have a great time. I mean, of course, we go typically once a year. So if we missed something, it wasn't a big deal. Or if we didn't have Ohana's like we would have liked to, it wasn't a detriment to the trip. So,
yeah, sounds like it. Well, any parting thoughts that you wanted to share? You had mentioned you wanted to talk a little bit about dining plans sort of retrospectively. Anything you want to add to what we've said so far about the dining plan?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just kind of say, like I said, when I was talking about at Animal Kingdom is, I think just for us, the dining plan probably won't work. We had the dining plan once, maybe 2013, maybe, and we were staying at Port Orleans Riverside, and we had only one child at the time. It was just me and my wife and Marie at the time, so it was a little different. And then I think she was actually two at the time, so really it was only two adult dining plans. So it, you know, it was a different situation. Now that I have two kids, and both of them don't eat all that much, you know, we were left with a whole bunch of dining credits at the end. And in retrospect, we probably should have, like, we probably paid out of pocket for a few of the things, like, in the beginning, because you, like, you didn't know whether or not to use them or not. Because, you know, like, you know, using your snack credit for a $3 bottle of water is not the best right. option, you sure. know. Sure. So in the beginning, we used some of our gift cards, and we paid out of pocket for a few things for the first day or two. And looking back at the end, we probably shouldn't have done that because we ended up with a whole bunch at the end.
Yeah, and I think there is a tendency to maybe be a little over conservative with the way you use, especially those snack credits early on. And, you know, the thing is that if you think about it, the only reason that that regular dining plan has two snack credits on it now is because they got rid of the dessert at lunch. Well, how many times did you really eat dessert at lunch anyway? Right. I mean, most of the time you were throwing that in the trash. Well, that's what that extra snack is. So, yeah.
And even for the table service meals, we're not big. We eat dessert. Let's put it that way. But we don't, like with me, my mom, my dad, and my wife, we don't all four get desserts. We'll get like two desserts and two of us will share this one and two of us will share this. Right. And even my mom and dad, we go to a restaurant. They'll order one meal and share, I mean, bowl of spaghetti somewhere is at a normal place, you know, like a Carrabba's or a one of those chain restaurants. They'll order one plate of pasta for themselves and share it. They don't eat a lot of food. So all of us having our own meals and our own, you know, quick service meals, it was a lot of food for us. Yeah. One good thing with the table service, too, that you can ask for is since you all automatically get a dessert, you can actually ask for an appetizer instead. And they'll accommodate certain things. And typically it's like a cup of soup or a side salad. So a lot of our times we did that, like me and my wife, one of us would get the salad and one of us would get dessert and we'd share.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So instead of us both having desserts or both having appetizers, you know.
And they won't always do it, but it's worth asking.
Yeah. They'll tell you on the menu what you can or can't substitute. You know, you can't substitute it for like a flatbread pizza or something like that. They won't allow you to do that. But for the small items, they'll allow you to substitute. So I think in the long run, we probably won't be getting the dining plan. You know, like I said, we're normally annual pass holders. Most of the time we get the Tables in Wonderland card, which helps us out a lot. I actually saw when I was reading the new pamphlet for the 2018 pass holder benefits that there's a lot more restaurants now offering 10% discounts for dinners now. Before, it was like very few and far between for dinners, and it was like only this restaurant for lunch. And now, I mean, I looked at the list, and pretty much across the board, almost every restaurant will give you a 10% discount now on the meal with an annual pass.
A lot of them are. And I think everybody is just kind of waiting to see how long those hang around. Cause you know, they added a bunch of discounts as sort of an anniversary thing. It seemed last year, they kind of announced those extra discounts. And I think, you know, a lot of people are wondering whether those are going to start slipping away again. Cause you got to think that those discounts, even though it's not as much of a discount as Tables in Wonderland, you got to think that probably erodes their Tables in Wonderland sales.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, it was getting higher and higher every year. You know, I think the last time we bought a Tables in Wonderland, it was $125, maybe $150 for the card. It was quite a bit, which makes your margin of, you know, of savings a lot more. You have to spend a lot more to recuperate that money for the cost of the card, you know?
Right.
So, but again, when we have four adults, like I said, most of the time my parents, you know, travel with us. So you go to, you know, Chef Mickey's and all of you are eating, that's, you know, $50 to $60 a pop, you know, your bill is almost $300 to $400, you know, so.
Right. So that savings adds up in a hurry.
Yeah. You'll make your money back quite fast if you're eating these, you know, the character meals and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all great information, and glad you were here to share it with us, Todd. It's always nice to have you back on the show. What's on the horizon?
Hopefully Diz Dad's convention, maybe in January. I got that annual pass in my pocket. Now I just have to work on the wife about maybe making a trip down in January.
Oh, there you go. Time to start doing Disney math. Got to use that annual pass and amortize the cost.
Exactly. Other than that, maybe next year is my wife and I's in April's 10-year anniversary. So I'm trying to maybe, if I can't go to the convention in January, maybe in April, her and I, because we have not been on a vacation by ourselves without the kids in 10 years. So maybe Alani, maybe Disneyland, maybe something like that. The gears are spinning in my head.
All right. Well, it sounds great. Looking forward to hearing about it.
Great. Can't wait to talk about it.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.